I'm Steve Kraske. Commissioners for Kansas City's first LGBTQ commission were sworn in last month. The goal is to work with the mayor's office and the city council to address issues which affect the LGBTQ community. While the commission is still new, members are organizing policies to mandate gender-neutral bathrooms in government buildings. Members are also aiming to educate and inform the public about issues affecting the community. This is the first LGBTQ commission in Missouri, and it just had its first meeting 2 weeks ago. Here with us now to help us get to know Kansas City's first LGBTQ commission, our Moon Glasgow Brown, is the chair of the Kansas City LGBTQ Commission. Moon, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Justin Short is also here. He's also a commission member. Justin, nice to have you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me as well.
Moon, why is this commission needed?
I think it's important that we have this commission so that we can see actual change happening in Kansas City. So change in legislation, added anti-discrimination protections, more education, and also holding the city accountable to offering access to healthcare, housing, and other resources that our community needs and deserves.
Justin, why can't it be housed within the city's Human Rights Commission? Because I think that commission has gay and lesbian representation on it.
I think for us, it's the expansion of that. So they obviously are dealing with a lot of issues, a lot of things around Kansas City and its population. Our goal is specifically to LGBTQIA and advancing that legislation and really advising city council. I think that's important to have representation that is a body of voices for the city council. I think that's important. And I'm not sure if HRC in Kansas City is able to have that diverse set of voices.
So you're saying that the commission helps elevate the concerns and what's going on inside the community?
Absolutely. And bringing that elevation to the city council for things they might not have ever thought of or might not have ever been presented to them.
So Moon, what are some of the main goals for this commission?
I think some of the main goals are to shape legislation to support those most impacted within the LGBTQ community. I know that another goal is to push the city past performative support. So it's more than just putting a rainbow sticker outside of your establishment. It's how do we have the tools to support LGBTQ communities? What does the proper protocol look like to interrupt transphobia and or homophobia when it happens? And is the language that is written in policies and procedures inclusive?
Moon, what kind of support would you be looking for businesses, for example? What more does the city need to do?
I think one would be education. I think, again, a lot of the language surrounding LGBTQ communities is outdated, and there needs to be education on additional communities within the LGBTQ community, because often we talk about gay and lesbian, and that erases the voices of trans folks and queer folks within our community.
So a decade from now, Justin, what needs to be different for the LGBTQ community in Kansas City, Missouri? What are you looking to see?
I'm just looking to see one representation and, like Moon said, education. And I think she touched on a great point about performative status. So if you have a company or a business that is making these pledges during Pride Month and then they kind of, you know, disappear, I would like to see businesses who are supporting Pride have an education or a donation component to these different support resources that we have in Kansas City. I would really like to see there's this legislation about making government buildings have gender neutral bathrooms and things like that. You know, we have the Equality Act that needs to pass, and I think there's further protections that we can do inside of Kansas City. And I would like to see more safe spaces for LGBTQIA members around the city. And I'm not just talking about bars and restaurants, I'm talking about businesses, small businesses. And I would like to see an increased presence and representation around the city. We all know, especially on Up to Date, that the city is growing at a very rapid pace. Now, I know that took a dive last year, but we're getting back there. And one of the things I would really like to see, if you had a 10-year plan, would be more representation when it comes to small businesses and certainly policy within city government.
Justin, you just mentioned safe spaces. Explain what that is and what are you talking about there exactly?
Well, you know, I think Moon and I would mirror the same sentiment here, and that is that sometimes there are businesses, there are spaces in which members of our community feel inherently uncomfortable and sometimes threatened, whether that be through microaggression or other means. I think it's important for education to happen to these businesses, small businesses, things like that, to where they know how to handle our community and know how to help with our community in a way that, again, isn't performative, but also it makes safe spaces for us to gather and be. I mean, there's a lot of things right now happening in different states when it comes to some pretty aggressive anti-trans legislation. Thankfully, some of it is being struck down, which is good. But these are conversations that need to be had in order for us to feel safe in certain spaces.
I was going to say, Moon, just jumping off of Justin's point, is Kansas City, you know, in the middle of Kansas and Missouri, and there are different policies in the city versus the rural countryside, but is it still a tough place to be for LGBTQ folks?
Yeah, I would definitely say yeah. I mean, we're in the middle of the Bible Belt, and so a lot of a lot of politic aligns with outdated messaging. And so, I mean, we're still fighting for protections that allow us to be not discriminated against for our sexual orientation and or gender identity. And I know this has been a long, hard fight for so many years. And so, yeah, I think that we are in a tough spot, but we're also in a place, especially with this commission, where we can amplify the voices and experiences of LGBTQ folks so that we can feel empowered and supported here in Kansas City to make those necessary changes.
We're visiting with two members of Kansas City's first LGBTQ commission. It's the first such commission in the state of Missouri. I'm visiting with Moon Glasgow Brown, who's the chair of the commission. Justin Short, also a commission member. Justin, this is quite a large commission. How many members does it have?
So it has 13 members. So there is one member that represents each district of the city. So the city obviously has, you know, its different districts. There are six of them. And then there are seven that are appointed positions for various, they have various titles, public health, transportation, business, you know, that kind of thing. And then there's one member at large. So there's 13 total. Hmm.
And weren't you guys Zoom bombed in your first meeting, Justin?
Yeah. So our meetings, because we are a commission and because we are affiliated with the city, our meetings are public. And there was some people that got a hold of that Zoom link and got on there and were saying some pretty unkind things and being intentionally problematic. And so we had to kind of navigate that. And it happened to be in the middle of a conversation about graceful dissension, which is to say that people who are not going to agree with us, you know, how do we deal with that gracefully? And then literally after that sentence came out of my mouth, it started happening. So, you know, you just have to push forward. Not everyone is going to agree with us. Not everybody is going to be in line with what we're doing here, but that doesn't erase our presence. It doesn't erase our journey. So we have to push forward.
You know, Moon, Justin just said that when the mayor appointed this body, he added members who specialize in policies like housing or public safety, healthcare, and education. Why do we need commissioners who are well-versed in housing, for instance?
I think for so long, there has been discrimination, housing discrimination for LGBTQ communities, specifically transgender communities. And so I think it's important that we have someone who specializes in that, who can support with updating policies and procedures and legislation so that housing can be inclusive. Mm-hmm. And I think that while intentions may sometimes be good, we have to look at like the impact. And so how can we have a positive impact so that we can feel safe, supported, affirmed, and included within the housing system, within the healthcare system, within the education system?
I was going to say, what about education? Why is there a need for someone who's focused on that area?
Most definitely. I think education is important. I think education moves people and helps people understand our community. I mean, we're here. We've always been here, and we're not going anywhere. And this is not just a way of life that we choose. This is who we are. And so I think it's important that that message is heard.
Justin, you told our producer that the majority of people in this country still don't understand what it means to be trans. What do people need to know there? What would help, and what can the commission do on that front?
Well, I think that goes back to the piece you were just discussing, which is education. I mean, you hear a lot about lesbian, gay, bisexual, but the T sometimes gets missed in all of this. I think it's systemic. I think these things are not intentionally ignored, but they are ignored. And there is an entire trans population, not only in the city of Kansas City, but certainly across the country, as you mentioned. And I just think people need education. I mean, this is so important for our trans brothers and sisters who are just trying to live lives and trying to live lives unviolently. I mean, we know that there's a disproportionate number of trans women, especially trans women of color, who are being sometimes murdered, a lot of the times violently attacked. So these are things that we need to educate the public about and get behind so that we can better support the T in the LGBTQIA statement.
So given all this, Moon, what is Kansas City's reputation these days when it comes to LGBTQ issues? How are we regarded?
I think, again, like I spoke on earlier, a lot of the work has been performative and with good intention. And we're really trying to shift that. Like, we want something that is more than performative. Like, how are you going to show up? Do you have the tools to support us? Do you have proper protocol to interrupt when transphobia is happening? Are your policies aligned with being inclusive? And so, like, on your forms, in your businesses, do you have MX, which is a non-binary term or gender neutral term for Mr. or Mrs. So it's little things like that that can make a huge difference in whether an organization or a business is supportive or not.
And that just means, as you're pointing out here, getting the word out, educating people, getting people up to speed about how to think about these issues.
Yes, correct.
If our listeners want to join our conversation here as we talk about with two members of Kansas City's new LGBTQ Commission, our number 816-235-2888. You can tweet us at KCUR up to date. Is this commission needed? Is it past due? What do you make of the fact that the mayor created this thing? 816-235-2888. You know, Moon, if you had to change one thing in our town right now, what would it be?
One thing, that's really difficult. But I would say that, I would rally support around those most impacted communities, because when we support those most impacted, we support the entire Kansas City community. And I believe that those closest to the harm are closest to the solution. And so rallying behind them and amplifying their voices and our voices to see what the needs are.
How about you, Justin? If you had to change one thing, what would it be?
I would like to see education and representation when it comes to trans folks, especially trans folks of color. I think that there has been an inordinate lack of their voice in this city. And I would really like to see that take a bigger seat in the conversations, in all conversations, whether it comes to government, business, housing, especially. I think I would like to see especially support services for displaced LGBTQIA members of our community.
You know, one more thing about this commission, it was modeled on a similar commission formed in 2018 down in Atlanta. What kind of impact has the LGBTQ commission had down there? Either of you have any sense of that?
I know that their commission has grown rapidly, and they actually have different departments within their commission. And so if that represents the need of a specific commission like an LGBTQ commission in a city like Atlanta, then I think that is representative of the need here in Kansas City as well.
I know that Atlanta also experienced greater investment that came into the city from out of state, I believe, after the commission was formed, Justin. Why do you think that happened, and would you expect the same thing here?
Well, we certainly have spoken in our meetings about what our goals are about expanding the commission and kind of getting those types of conversations started. I think one of the main things that we talked about was Kansas City being a safe destination, a safe space. I think it's kind of universally known that Atlanta is kind of the LGBTQ mecca of the South, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's pretty well known. But the very first conversation I think we had in the first meeting was about making Kansas City a safe destination, a safe tourist spot, a safe place for LGBTQIA members of outlying communities, that they can come to the city and they can make a home and they can connect and they can, they can thrive and they can start businesses and they can be supported and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I would like to see an infusion of people, and then out of that will come development.
Let me go to some phone calls here. Barbara from Midtown. Barbara, you're on Up to Date. It's nice to have you. Good morning.
Thank you. Nice to be on Up to Date. I'm in a Midtown apartment building here. Several of us are listening, and a couple of people have asked me what to define QIA, because one person thinks queer means the same as gay, or has always been used that way. We really don't know what QIA stands for.
Moon, for a lot of people, it's still confusing. Fill Barbara in, if you would.
Yeah, so the Q, it does mean queer, which historically that has been a word used to discriminate against our community. In the recent years, especially with the younger people, we have taken that back as a sign of empowerment. So folks are identifying themselves as queer, which could mean gay, it could mean lesbian, it could even mean trans. And so it's just an umbrella term for the community as a whole, if you will. And then the I is referring to intersex. And then the A also, I know A has meant asexual, and can also mean allies.
You know, I think Barbara raises an interesting point here. And Barbara, I'm really glad you called. Thanks so much. You know, this idea that I think a lot of people want to be supportive, but they also don't want to be insensitive or say the wrong thing sometimes, Justin. And I'm wondering to what extent that's an issue for your community.
Education is important. Yeah. Barbara brings up a fantastic question. Barbara in Midtown with her friends listening in her apartment, I'm sure it is confusing. And that's why we need to do these things. I mean, the Q in the LGBTQIA, yes, it means queer, but that queer kind of encompasses many, many different things. So there is confusion behind that. And I think that the old joke is, you know, LGBTQ and then letters, all the letters of the alphabet, right? So if we can help explain what those are and what they mean to the community, because there is an entire community of people. These are living, breathing people. And if they are saying that what we're saying is hurtful or uncouth, let's do the work to fix that.
Yeah. And if I could just piggyback off of that, also, we leave it up to people within the community to be able to identify themselves. So if there is ever a point where you're not understanding something or someone's identity, it's okay to ask, hey, can you tell me more about that? I haven't heard about that. Because again, like, queer could mean something different to me than it does mean to Justin. And so I think that's the important part of education, is that we're educating people to meet people where they're at, because with this younger generation who, I mean, we have always been in these boxes, LGBT. And so what the younger generation is doing as a form of empowering themselves and their identities is that they're creating terms that align with who they are. So maybe the terms that are, that we have now don't necessarily align with their identity. And so they're creating these terms. And I think it's important to ask what those terms mean to them.
You know, Justin, I understand that you'd like to install gender-neutral bathrooms in government buildings. Why is that first on the commission's list?
Well, I think first, it's been floating around the city council for a long time. I think it's important for representation. I think it's important. You have this dangerous anti-trans rhetoric that is going around in other state legislators, and even, you know, of course, in our own over there in Jeff City. It is important for government buildings, government employees, people, especially LGBTQIA people, to feel important and feel empowered to make their own decisions and make their own decisions about what they feel most comfortable in, and forcing someone to use a bathroom that is, doesn't align with who they are, is just it's inherently ineffective. And I think that Kansas City, especially when it comes to government buildings, needs to be a safe space for those people.
I mean, that'll be a big change for some members of the public, Justin.
I think it will. I think it certainly is a bit, it's not, I mean, it's not a big physical change. I mean, you know, changing the actual bathroom is not, and the signage is not difficult. And I think the conversation around that has always been that it is difficult, but it's not really. And education is an important piece of this. And when we're talking about just government buildings, I mean, these are people who are already behind this to begin with. So let's continue to move that forward and make our government buildings a safe space for anyone who needs it.
You know, Moon, I can't help but note that Missouri has no statewide LGBTQ protections. How much of this job will be to advocate for new laws in the state capitol?
Oh, I think a huge portion of this job would be to advocate for that, because what we want to see done in the city is also what we want to see happen with the state, and because we deserve protections, right? We deserve protections that allow us not to be discriminated against, not to lose our homes, not to lose our jobs because of our orientation or our gender identity.
Yeah, maybe a final point, Justin. I can't help but note that Pride Month is coming up in June. What does the commission plan to do this year to commemorate Pride Month?
Well, we are working with the local Pride organization to kind of plan or to assist in planning their events. So Pride has been moved to August of this year. I'd have to defer to Moon for the exact date, but we do have other Pride festivals that are happening in June. And something that we're really excited about and working on is getting a Pride flag visibility and the inclusive Pride flag visibility, especially when it comes to City Hall. So we're working on that stuff. And there are other things that the city is doing as well, like the Pride streetcar wrap and the Pride bus and things like that. That'll be for June specifically, because June is Pride Month. But of course, because of the pandemic, they did decide to move the actual festival to August.
Okay, we're going to leave our conversation there. I want to thank our two guests. You just heard the voice of Justin Short, a new member of the LGBTQ Commission in Kansas City. We were also joined by the chair of that commission, Moon Glasgow Brown. Hey, thank you both for a very good conversation, and good luck with the work ahead.
Thank you so much for having us.
You bet.